Deuteronomy chapter number 6, found in the Old Testament of your scripture towards the beginning of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And while you're turning there, just a couple of things very quickly. First of all, we have Jonathan and Madison Esposito, who have recently finished discipleship right here. And Brother Tobin, you run that back for me. And congratulations to Jonathan and Madison finishing continue. They kind of went through it with Carl and Justine for the purpose of turning around and being a discipler. So we're really excited about that. And then Triola recently finished, and Dana was discipling her. But James, if you'll take that over for me, and let's congratulate Triola and Jonathan and Madison this morning on their completion of discipleship. We have a great number from our class who are in continued discipleship every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in Rebels 209. We have a couple of groups because of work schedule that meet at off times. We have some that meet today after church and some that are meeting on Mondays and so on. But we have a great number from our class in discipleship. In fact, we had two couples start last Wednesday night, so we're thankful. Here's two that just graduated. Two more just got started, and that's what it's all about. So thank the Lord for that. And then we have a lot of guests that are returning, a lot of folks that have just been to our class a couple times that are making their way back in. We're so excited to have them. And one of those is Eldon right over here. And then with Eldon is Ashlyn. Ashlyn, I think this is your first time ever to our class, so we're really excited you're here today. And I just wanted to mention that and say welcome to you this morning. Well, we have been in a series entitled Passionate Parenting. And this is week number 7 in this study. We've just been looking at different principles from the Word of God that we can apply to our life in the area of parenting. And today I want us to look at the topic of being a pursuing parent. Now, if you were here last Sunday, this dovetails very beautifully into the lesson we talked about last Sunday on being an engaged parent. If you were not here last Sunday, please know you were missed for sure. But also on the back of today's handout, there's a website. You can go there and you can listen to the lesson so you can stay right up to date. Now, I always tell people, we don't put that online so that you skip class. Let's try that one more time. We don't put that online so you skip class. Amen. All right. But we put it online in case you're on your deathbed and you cannot be here on one particular Sunday. Then you can go online and catch up and stay up to date on the series. So anyway, I want to make sure you're aware of that. And as you may want to get caught up, and then this will kind of delve right into that thought as we continue in this series. Children who spend quality time with their parents are very different from children who do not. Sometimes you can see it maybe in their stability, in their courage, in their confidence, or in the acceptance of their own identity and who they are. And it's very important for our children that we determine in our heart that we are going to spend time with them. And as they grow older and beginning into the teenage years, it is imperative that you and I determine we are going to spend time with our children, and we are going to play an important role in their life. And wise parents are pursuing parents. They're relentless. They're passionate about having a close-hearted relationship with their children and spending the time with them that is necessary for their development. And the Bible says a lot about this. Our text, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children," teaching the principles of the Word of God. "And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And we've actually taught that verse in this class. But in every facet of life, going and coming and moving and around the house or around community or in church or on the way to school or whatever, taking advantage of every opportunity to teach the principles of the Word of God. Deuteronomy 4:9 in your notes says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." We've got to teach them to our children. Why? Because the Bible declares it helps keep them fresh in our minds. One of the things I love about discipleship, and my wife and I are discipling right now, is it keeps it fresh in my mind. Man, when I'm teaching something in discipleship, it keeps it fresh in my heart. It's good for me and for the student. And you and I as a parent, when we're teaching our children, it's good for us and our children. And when we don't do that, there's grave consequences. Notice this in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and watch this, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. A generation came who did not even know God or his works. Oh, what a terrible generation. No, that fault lies with their parents. We can look at a lot of things happening in our American culture and society today. Recent decisions and all these things that are going on around, it's not the children's fault. It's the parents' fault. It's our fault for not being as involved as we should, for not pursuing that kind of relationship and teaching in this way. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning, being a pursuing parent. Now, first of all, as we look at this, I want us to see, number one, the importance of father time. The importance of father time. Now, fathers, your children need you badly. They were created with you. They were created to need you and to need time from you. And it's imperative that you have time with them. Now, this lesson and these principles will apply to every mother and every single parent, potentially in the room as well. But there will be a few references made this morning to dads, because there is a significance, there is an importance, there is a vitality to time of children with father, especially in these developmental years. They've got to have time with dad. And so the principles will apply universally, mom, dad, a single parent this morning, with God's grace and sufficiency with them, but a few challenges directly to dads this morning as well. Now let's look at the importance of this time with dad by, first of all, letter A, looking at the byproduct of busyness. Now, if God's blessed your home with children, or maybe you're in a stage of preparation for that someday, as your children get older or as you have more of them, life gets busier. It's just the nature of it. For dad, as children get older, it gets more expensive. The financial pressure increases, and all the dads said amen to that. For mom, life just gets more stressful. There's a balance of children and other things in your life, the management of the home or your job, and there's the frequent trips. You feel like a taxi driver at times, and there's all these things you've got to track and keep a pulse of. And for the kids, life gets busier. It's music lessons and sports practices and games and doctor's appointments and special school functions and trying to be with friends or projects or coming into finals as we round out the semester. And those are just a short list of things that are naturally happening in the daily life of a family where the children are getting older. But here's the problem. You can have a lot of good stuff like that in existence in the home, and it can begin to squeeze out the time together of the family, the father with the children, the mother with the children, the parents with children, and so forth. And what happens is, over time, what begins to suffer is the heartfelt relationships that we have with our children. And we don't usually see this. It doesn't all happen at once. Sometimes it takes months and sometimes it takes years. It just gradually moves in a different direction. And one day we look back and say, what happened to us? We don't spend time together anymore like we used to. We don't have the relationships like we used to. And if we're not careful, we chalk it up to normal. Life got busy. Everybody got their own thing going. It's just the way it is. It's a new phase in which we are entered into. But I want to submit to you this morning that this is not a child thing, and it's not a busyness thing. It's a parent thing. It's a father thing, and it is something that you and I have to overcome. Now, how do we do it? Well, let's examine letter B, the problem of mismanaged priorities. One of the ways we get to this trap is having mismanaged priorities. And so, yes, life gets busier, but our priorities get out of whack as well. Now, in the book of Haggai, the children of Israel were struggling with their priorities, and they were mismanaging them. They were commissioned by the Lord in this book to rebuild the temple, God's house, and that was to be their top priority. The Lord promised that He would provide for them. He would meet their needs as long as they accomplished this task that God gave them. Well, along the way, as they were doing this for the Lord, they got their priorities out of whack. And all of a sudden, their own lives and their own dwellings and their own accomplishments that they wanted to see completed began to be their top priority, and God's task began to kind of lower on the list. And as that happened, and as it always does, things began to unravel. By the way, life still is very simple in that regard. If we will keep God preeminent, Colossians 1:18, in his rightful place, and we'll be obedient to him, God blesses. But when God begins to slide on your priority list, we're all of a sudden spending time in his word, all of a sudden getting in a prayer closet and talking to God, all of a sudden making the effort to be in church faithfully, when all of a sudden that begins to decline on the priority list, so does the decline of God's blessings. Because with obedience comes God's blessing, and with disobedience comes God's correction. And that's what was happening here in the children of God here spoken of in Haggai. And so God began to come down on them because they were disobeying the Lord. It was not their priority. And notice this in Haggai 1 verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know what God was saying to them? You're busier than you've ever been before, but you don't have much to show for it. It takes a ton of effort, but there's not a lot of product. There's not a lot of substance. When the flurry of activity is over, there's really not a lot to it. That's what God was saying. And God was challenging them to get their priorities in order. And it all worked out when they put God first. God began to bless them once again and provide for them once again. And the temple was finished and they were taken care of. And the takeaway for that for you and I is we have to make healthy family relationships a high priority in our life. When we do, God will bless and honor that. So the importance of time. Time fathers with children. Time together as a family. Secondly, during that time, we want to be turning your heart toward your children. We want to turn our hearts toward the hearts of our children. Now notice this in Luke 1:17. Speaking of the ministry of John the Baptist, the Bible says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And we know that God sent John the Baptist as a forerunner for the ministry of Christ. But part of his job description, part of his preaching, part of his responsibility was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Boy, we need a revival of that today in 2016. Turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now in that process, first of all, we see letter A, that we must target the heart. Target the heart. The word turn here in Luke 1:17 means to revert or to turn about. The implication here is that fathers' hearts are turned away from their children. And dads, we have to examine our heart this morning. Is our heart turned to our children? Are we in tune with their needs? Are we spending time with them as we should? Are we leading our family spiritually? I think we have the picture Bibles in the back at the table. And I was in a home a couple of weeks ago, and I was encouraging these young parents and brand new in the Lord how they need to have a family altar time. And I was telling them in our home what we have done for years. And as we're nearing a bedtime for our children, I will come into the living room, and they may be there or elsewhere, and I will say, "It's special times," and that means everybody comes running. Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph, and they come and they sit by Daddy on the couch, and then we sit down, and two on my right and two on my left, and I get out the picture Bible, and they're getting a little older, and we're last night we did the Word of the Wise, and we're doing some other things now, but for years, that's what we did, and we went to the picture Bible, and I would open it up, and the picture Bible is not the Bible in the sense of it's not this word for word, okay? I want to make sure you understand what it is. It is a book that tells Bible stories. It is the Bible. It's 263 stories, I believe it is. The most important stories of the Word of God chronologically from creation to the end of time. And I would read those stories to our kids, and oh, they would love them. They could see the pictures and they could hear what the Lord was teaching and so on, and I would read that to them. And then I would do questions, and I would have them all line up in front of me, and I'd have a baseball or basketball or beach ball or something to throw at them, and I'd have that in my hand. And I would say, you know, who do we read about tonight? And they shoot up a hand, and if they got it right, I throw them the ball, and they throw it back. What scriptures were we reading from, or what was the story about, or who got killed, or you know, whatever it might apply to the story or the lesson that we were reading or that we were studying. But we were having time in the Word of God. And dads, our hearts have to be engaged towards our children. And I want to encourage us to do that and encourage us to take the lead and be involved in this way. So they were turning, reverting their attention back to their children. And then we see the word hearts. And the word heart here refers to the thoughts and the feelings. So John the Baptist was had a mission from the Lord to turn the thoughts and feelings of the fathers back to the needs of their children. Dads were not just thinking about career advancement. Dads were not just thinking about social entertainment or hobby chasing or whatever. And there's a place for some of those things. But John the Baptist said, dads, what we need to be thinking about is our kids, is our children. Because you're going to blink, and they're going to be out of your home. And you're going to have all the time in the world to work more hours. You're going to have all the time in the world to watch as much news as you want. You're going to have all the time in the world to chase every hobby and every entertainment and every whatever that you have. You have all the time in the world for that. But for a short season of your life, you have little people under your influence and in your home that you are responsible to lead for God. And John the Baptist was saying, dads, turn your attention back to your children, specifically gaining their hearts, turning the heart towards your children. So you've got to target the heart, but letter B, then you've got to invest the time. Now, the single truth that God is speaking of here in the priority of fathers having time with their children is that it's going to take time. Our children need more than our physical provision. Well, Brother Rule, I'm providing a home. I'm providing food. We're providing clothes. We're providing insurance. We're providing education. We're doing those things. And thank God for that. The Bible commands to the husband and father that he is to provide and he is to meet those needs within his family. And there is a responsibility on the behalf of moms and dads to provide for their children for sure. But more than just the physical provision, there has to be the giving of our time. So I ask you this morning, are you getting time with your children? Are you getting time with your spouse? Is something of a lower priority than they are stealing from their time? Because nothing in the life of a child can replace the value of time spent with you. Now, we live in a culture and a society that's trying to convince you all the time how little your kids need you. I mean, basically, breed them, feed them, and bring them to us, and we'll rear them for you. That's the mantra of our culture and society. They really don't need you. You give them to us, we'll do the rest. The Bible has a very different outlook on the home. The Bible makes a ton of references to moms and dads with their kids. The Bible lays the responsibility for these things on the shoulders of moms and dads. And there's something in our life that has to understand nothing is more valuable for our children than time with us. We've got to make sure we're making that a priority and that we are creating that time. We have to look at it like breathing and sleeping and eating. It's a non-negotiable. You and your children have to have time together. And I want to encourage you, make this a weekly discipline. Make this something you're looking at every week, not monthly, not annually, because you'll get too far down the line. It'll get out of whack and it'll be hard to rein back in. But every week, examine, am I getting time with my spouse? Am I getting time with my children? There are many problems that our children will face in the years of their development. But I do not know one problem that cannot be fixed with the right kind of time that a child is getting with their father and with their mother. They've got to have time with you and with your spouse. They've got to have time with their parents. And if you and I will dedicate our lives to making sure that we create this time and we invest this time and we cherish this time. Again, we will blink. They will be out of our home and we'll have time for everything else we may deem important. But right now, if God's blessed you with children home, that has got to be a priority. So they've got to have time with dad. They've got to have time with mom. They've got to have quality time and the kind of time where we're pursuing their heart as John the Baptist was encouraging them there in the book of Luke. Now, thirdly, I want us to see then this morning, what does this quality time together look like? And let me run through a few characteristics this morning as we dig a little deeper in exactly what does it look like, or what are some attributes of this time together that we should be having with our children. Again, dads, I'm challenging you in this area because that's the focus, but it would apply to any parent certainly in the room. First of all, letter A, it should be one-on-one. Now, we make big a family time, and I think families should have family time together. But dads, I want to encourage you this morning, spend time with your children individually, one-on-one. There's something very powerful about that. Letter B, it should be frequent. Now, relationships are organic, and they're like a plant. They need nurture. They need attention. Anybody trying to go grass right now? I feel like every time I go outside, I got to increase the amount of time my sprinklers are running. You know, I mean, it's getting warm, and it's windy, and it's hard to grow anything in the desert. And right now, it's going to take more water, and it's going to take more fertilizer, and it's going to take more effort if my front lawn is going to be green for the next few months, because that's just the way it works. And there's going to be seasons in the life of my children where they're going to need more of my time, and more of my energy, and more of me if they're going to make it through whatever that season may be. So I've got to be sure that it is frequent, that it is responsive to what it is that they are going through. And again, if we have that weekly discipline, then I can make sure, am I getting time with my children this week? And if I miss time with a particular child in a given week, it just makes the next week that much more important. So make sure it's frequent. Letter C, it should be focused. This is not time to watch TV together. This is not time to watch a movie together. This is not time to do those kinds of things, but rather this time is reserved for talking, for relating, for laughing, for interacting, asking questions, and just connecting on a heart level. That's what this time should be. It should be focused. Letter D, it should be Holy Spirit led. You say, Brother Roll, to be honest with you, I don't even know where my child is right now in the sense of where they are mentally or their heart or whatever. We feel like we're in a little bit of a struggle and we're trying to pray through it. And I want to encourage you this morning, the Holy Spirit knows exactly where your child is. And if you and I are walking in the Spirit and sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, then He's going to help guide our time with them and the conversation and the questions that we're asking, because He knows exactly what's happening in their heart, and He can guide you and I to retain their heart with us. It's got to be led of the Holy Spirit of God. Letter E, it needs to be threat-free. It needs to be threat-free. Now, what does that mean? Well, in parenting, if you're going to commit to being a biblical parent, then you are committing to provide for your children correction, okay? I grew up in a home that believed in lots of correction. I was the firstborn of four children, so I bore the brunt of most of that correction. And then Jesse and Maggie and Natalie all learned from what Gabe did wrong and said, I'm not doing that, you know? And that was kind of my role in their life, and they thank me for it to this day. So that was the home that I grew up in, and then I got married, and now God's blessed us with four children. And part of that job, part of that wearing that hat, is providing correction to my children. But this kind of time is not really for that. When I'm scheduling this one-on-one time with my kids to connect with their heart, it's not my opportunity just to lecture them for an hour or to begin talking with them and then just get back at them every time they begin to open up or to tell me how they really feel, just to tell them how wrong they are and how crazy that is and I don't even know what's going on with you. That's not the time for that. It's got to be threat-free. They've got to feel like it's an environment where they can speak to you and you will listen. My wife reminds our kids all the time, you can talk to us about what? And they say anything. Anything. And she wants our four kids to know, you can talk to us about anything. Anything. And we may not like it, we may not understand it, and we're going to pray and God will grow us too, but we want them to talk to us. And there's got to be an environment where they feel like it's not a threat, that they can just open up and speak with us. Our pastor said, accusations will harden the will, but questions stimulate the conscience. And we don't want to accuse. We want to listen and ask and seek to understand. Then a little F, it should be flexible. It should be flexible. Now, sometimes this weekly time together might be an hour. Sometimes it might be a couple of hours. Sometimes it might require a whole day. You just got to be flexible. What's happening in the heart of your child? Dads, can I encourage you here? Listen to mom. My wife knows the emotional gauges of our kids far better than I do. And sometimes I need to go do this or go do that, and I'll say, who should I take? And she'll say, I think you ought to take so-and-so. And I think she's bad about 1,000 in that right now. And I just try to listen. Who needs my time? And I try to be aware of it, but boy, listen to one another. Who needs time? And be flexible with that and be willing to spend more time when needed. When in doubt, spend more. Be flexible with it. Letter G, it could involve serving the Lord and others together. Sometimes we think of, man, if we're going to have this time, and it's going to cost me all this money, and it's going to, all these inconveniences. Listen, I can give you about 1,000 ways to spend time with your kids. It won't cost you a thing. There's a lot of things you can do. But you know a great thing you can do? You can serve God together. You can serve others together. Take your kids. Go make a couple of visits. Take your kids. Go deliver a meal to somebody. Take your kids and go do something kind for someone or someone in need. It could involve those types of things, and it will do their heart good. I grew up with a dad who would take me out and we would visit underprivileged families, and I would see how these people lived and the condition of their homes and the lack of their nutrition and clothing and just their life. And it was quite sad, to be honest with you. And it was very difficult as a young boy to go back home and to complain about what we had. Very difficult to sit down at the dinner table and complain about what mama cooked when I just saw these people didn't have anything. It was good for me to see people in need and with a dad and just going and trying to be helping a blessing to them. Consider spending some time with your kids serving the Lord. Letter H, it should be fun and funny. It should be fun and funny. Now, teenagers like to have fun. They like to have a good time. They like to enjoy their time. And sometimes as adults, we take our lives and ourselves a little too seriously. And so when we're spending time with our kids, we need to find some things we can laugh at. We need to find some things we can enjoy together. We need to make some memories that they will cherish. Few things bond people like having fun together. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And you want it to be a merry heart. You want home to be a fun place. You want time with your kids to be fun. Find out what they enjoy and learn to do those things and have time with them. Letter I, it should sometimes be resolution oriented. It should sometimes be resolution oriented. And we talked about it needs to be threat free. It's not a time just to lecture abundantly, but there will be times where you sense that the relationship is strained, that you don't have the heart of your child like you would like. You sense there's something wrong. And so you schedule time, you get together and you just say, hey, is there something wrong between us? Did I do something that bothered you? Have we ever been closer than we are right now? And if so, then why are we not there? What could I do to get us back to that level? And ask those questions, have that conversation, and make it a time of resolution between father and child or mother and child. Then letter J, it should be need-driven. Now, how often we do this and how long we spend together should be determined by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We've discussed that. Maybe the input of our spouse, we've discussed that. But the goal is to make sure that their heart safely resides with you. In other words, the goal of a parent is not to run your kids all the way to E, where it's, they're going to shut down unless they get time with you. No. The goal of parents is to try to keep it as close to full as you possibly can. So it's need-driven. Keep their tanks full. Make sure this time is there. Don't run them near depletion and then try to correct. Just keep investing time and make sure that those needs are being met in their life. Letter K, it should be consistent. Now, this is key. We can spend a fortune on a once-a-year vacation and have all kinds of fun. But you know what? More impactful is consistently, once a week, having meaningful time with each child individually and nurturing their heart. And if you get some vacation, thank God for that. We may as well. But make sure that you're getting this one-on-one time each week consistently. Kids need that. By the way, a lot of kids, when they get out of the home, will walk away from God. And while it's not right, many of them will justify it because of the estranged relationship they have with mom and dad. And I want to encourage you, fight against that by consistently having time with them. Time together with our children is critical in their progress and development of a genuine heart for God. So many young people today struggle with various temptations in their life. Have you ever seen a teen that they are almost addicted to a certain friend or a gadget or a technical device or a particular genre of something? And then yet you see some kids in life and they're pretty even keel. They can take it or leave it. They've got a balance. They've got a stability. They've got a security. They've got a level head. And oftentimes when you examine the difference of the two in their upbringing, the one had meaningful time with father and mother. Some time from parents who loved him, who loved God, and invested in their life. And I want to encourage you and I, may you and I do our best to have their heart through the time that we're spending together. For the Bible says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And may you and I help our child in that endeavor, because we are a pursuing parent, pursuing their heart through the time that we spend with them. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time in your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning as dads and moms to do our best to pursue our children. Lord, may we pursue their heart through quality time that we would spend with them. Lord, help us to examine our lives today, our schedules today, and to make decisions based on biblical priority. Lord, I pray that you bless our class and every family that is represented here. Thank you so much for their taking time to join us today. And God, I pray your hand of favor upon them this week. And then bring us back next Sunday safely as we continue studying your word. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.